Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. I don't know what your thoughts are this morning as you think about preparatory service. It's been a difficult year for some of you, maybe most of you, in some degree or another. We've gone a whole year without communion. Does that mean we're not saved? Does that mean our salvation is in jeopardy? Obviously not. Salvation, we don't believe, as some would, that we receive some of our salvation through doing communion. But at the same time, the scripture calls us to go through communion in obedience to Christ. Some felt in the spring that we shouldn't go through communion because of the questions that we ask at preparatory service. Are you right? Are you at peace with God and your fellow man? Some people asked this year, I don't remember hearing this question being in the ministry before, but some people asked, is it biblical? You can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Where do we get the idea that we should ask this question? If you go to the little black, those of you who are not ministers may not be aware of this little black minister's book that we use as guidelines for a lot of our services. And in there, if you look at the preparatory council meeting section, it does say those very words, the idea of being at peace with God and fellow men. So I think that's where you could say our tradition for asking that question. This morning, though, we get the biblical command to prepare ourselves for communion. I believe there are many, I'm pretty sure there are many, many churches that take this too lightly today, and so we don't want to diminish the importance of examining ourselves for communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And then we'll skip down to verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come. So we don't see the exact words here of peace with God and our fellow men. But what does it mean to examine ourselves? I think that's important for us to think about this morning. What are we looking for? If you go to the doctor and the doctor, you say, I need an examination or a physical, what does the doctor do? Does he look at your file and look at your past history? Maybe. But more importantly, he looks at you today, the day of your physical, to see, are you healthy? Is there anything going on? He or she may ask you questions to try to determine the condition of your physical body today. So when it comes to the examination here, what is Paul talking about here in 1 Corinthians 11? What is he looking for? And I think the obvious answer is sin. Similar to a doctor looking for a disease, for cancer, for something else in the body that doesn't belong there that's going to be harmful. We are to be looking, wanting God to look at our lives and see if there is sin. And so, in answering the question, peace to God and our fellow men, if we have sin in our life, then most likely, well, definitely we don't have peace with God, but very possibly we also don't have peace with men at that time. Are we looking for perfection? I think this is another thing that we need to be careful on. If we're looking for perfection, then I don't know if any of us would be ready for communion on an annual basis, because we are not perfect. We're sinful creatures that God is sanctifying. And so we shouldn't be looking for perfection, but it also doesn't mean that we should just excuse sin in our life. I'm going to read from James chapter 1. I want to read the ESV. So you can follow along your scripture, but you'll notice some words are different. I just thought it uses some more current words for things and a little bit easier to understand. James 1, beginning at verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So that's what we're looking at. That's what we're striving to do today as we examine ourselves. We're looking into a mirror. What kind of a mirror? Obviously not a physical one, but we're looking at a spiritual mirror. What do you see today when you look in that mirror? Are you seeing someone who has failed in the past? Yes, we are human. Are you looking at someone that is falling short of maybe even where you would like to be today? That's very possible. But we need to be looking there to see if there are things that we should change that would help us to be more Christ-like. Psalms 139, 23, 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So when we're looking for a mirror to examine ourselves spiritually, where is that mirror? There are people who like to use the world as their mirror. What happens if you use the world as your mirror? You're going to look pretty good, because the world, usually there are very few in the world following God. So if we use the world, we can easily look pretty good in that way. Rather, we should be using God's word combined with his Holy Spirit. For time, I'm just going to quickly go through some verses we all know well. Psalms 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my paths." Proverbs 6:23, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And Psalms 19:8, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." When you go in the bathroom in the morning to get ready to go to work or come here to church, I don't think any of you leave the light off. if it was dark when you went into the bathroom. Yes, I can pull out a comb and I can kind of know the motions and maybe I can sort of make my hair look good in the morning. But if I don't have turn on the light and look in the mirror, I won't realize that I got a thing sticking out, or maybe it's not parted in a straight line. And for you ladies, it's much more difficult. I don't relate, right? But we need a light, we need a mirror to be able to make sure that we look good to leave the house. But there are mornings when I'm heading off to work, I don't have a job where I have to meet the customer. So sometimes I forget to look in the mirror, and then I climb out of my truck and I glance in the window at the reflection and I go, oh boy. Or maybe it's in the winter, I take off my hat and my hair is just... This should never be the case for church, for communion, that we come and our hair is a mess, spiritually speaking. We need a light, we need God's word as a mirror and a light to show where our heart truly is, our true condition. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Beginning of verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust ye shall know that ye are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. Then this also we wish, even unto your perfection. Another passage here where we're being challenged to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. Unfortunately, it is very possible for us to go to church every Sunday, to go through the motions, and yet our faith not be what it should be. So that's why Paul once again is challenging the believers at Corinth and through the letters, writing of the letters to every believer everywhere, to examine themselves, to make sure that they're truly following God. For the second part of my message, and I'll try to make it brief for time's sake, turn with me to Revelations chapter 2. I'm going to try to go through it quickly here, but we have the seven churches of Asia Minor. And what is the person with the candlesticks, which I believe is Jesus Christ? What is he doing here? He is examining the seven churches. And I believe there's times where we should look at it as a church and see if Salem fits one of these seven churches. Things that we need to be warned of, things that we need to be challenged to do better. But this morning I'm thinking of it more of a personal level. Do you find yourself as one of these churches? So Revelation chapter 2, 1 to 5. Unto the church of Ephesus write, these things saith, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So this morning, as you look in God's mirror, Are you like the church of Ephesus? Have you suffered, but you're still patient? Have you worked for the Lord's kingdom and not fainted? But then he says, even though you've been faithful in that sense, you've lost that first love that you had for God. The strong feelings and desires to follow him that you had at the beginning, you no longer have. So do we find ourselves like the church of Ephesus? And in verses 7 through 10, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 8, and unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Are you like the church of Smyrna? Have you served God, gone through tough times, physically, financially poor, and yet, as he says here, you're rich in God's economy? He doesn't really find any fault in the church at Smyrna. He says, even though you've gone through those things and you've been faithful, you're going to go through more. But your faith is going to hold. And if it holds and you remain faithful to the end, there'll be a crown of life for you. Going on to verse 12 through 14, and the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. No one here at Salem, to my knowledge, has died for their faith. But even though someone was faithful unto death, and there were many faithful people in this church, it still indicates that they were dabbling in idolatry. They had fornication in the church and they were not dealing with it. Is there fornication in your life? Are there things in your life that, even though there's faithful aspects to your life, there's parts of it that you've not totally surrendered to God? And that's what you need to look at and to make sure. Verses 18 to 20, and under the church, angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which callest herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed. Once again, he's saying there's faithful aspects, faithful people in this church. But similar to idolatry, they've allowed someone in open sin to dwell there. So what about you this morning? Is there an area of your life where you're allowing open sin, even though everyone around you thinks that you're doing great? He then goes on to say, don't let that remain. Get rid of it. Be faithful. And if you do, he will give you power, spiritual power, and victory. Revelations 3, 1 to 3. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know thy works. If thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. It indicates here that the definition of the church, or the definition of Sardis, had something to do with being alive, and yet he said that they were dead. Salem, the name of our church, means peace. But do we have peace in our lives and with our fellow brothers and sisters? And if not, we need to work on that and strive for that. Then the next church, Philadelphia, verses 7 through 10. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Here he commends them for their service, for their faithfulness. And he says, there are those who have tried to tear you down and to accuse you falsely, but they're the ones that are not who they say they are. And that can happen in our lives. We can have those who try to tear us down, accuse us falsely. But we need to remain faithful in spite of that. And to recognize that if we remain faithful, as it says here, that God will give us the strength and even more strength to go through greater temptation. And then 14 through 17, unto the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Hopefully none of us here this morning, but we do need to examine ourselves. Are we lukewarm in our walk with God? Do we think that we're rich and yet we're miserable and poor and blind? What does the person with the candlestick say? He says, sell those things, exchange them, get rid of them, and I will give you true riches. I will give you heavenly riches. I will give you what you need, and I will take away the blindness and nakedness that's in your life now. So wherever we're at this morning, let's examine ourselves and make sure that we are right with Him. Let's exchange the things of this world for the things in the next that are much greater, that are for eternity. God's word is a lamp, as I mentioned earlier. Let's use it to examine our lives today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for the presence of each one. Thank you, Lord, for the way that your word, along with your Holy Spirit, can prick us, can show us, Lord, those things that aren't what they should be. The world likes to say that that our heart is good, that humans are naturally good. We know, Lord, from looking in your word, that that's not true, but that you can turn us into what you want us to be. You can make us good. And let's just pray, Lord, this morning, that each one of us would be honest and truthful as we examine our lives. Just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to help us as a church to grow, to strengthen, to have peace with one another. We pray all this in your name. Amen.